Well, Brad, got to know, first question right out of the box, because we keep hearing about this. I'm trying to think now how many years it is I've been hearing about it, and Social Security is still around, but everybody keeps saying it's going to run out of money in the future. Is this something we need to be really concerned about?
Well, for most of us, we've been hearing that for a long, long time, because even back in the 70s, there was a really shaky situation where it could have run out of money back then. So we need to be careful, because as we've talked about on here before, emotions, especially fear and greed, are normally not our friends when we're making decisions. So we need to move from a position of being emotional to being informed. And so as we think about this issue and we hear them talking about Social Security potentially running out of money, what are they really talking about? And so what the latest information we have is that the Social Security trustees have said that at the current pace, they project that the trust fund will run out of money in the year 2035. And what this means is that right now they have a savings account that even if they don't bring in enough tax revenue, they have this savings account to help pay out the promised benefits. So if there's a shortfall in revenue, they've got a backup plan to help make sure everything gets paid. Well, basically that emergency fund runs out in the year 2035 if nothing changes between now and then. So what does that mean? And some people, when they hear that, they think, oh, well, this is an all-or-nothing situation. And in reality, what that means is now they have to rely only on the money that they're bringing in from taxes. And their estimate is that that would be enough to pay out about 75% of the promised benefits from that point forward. So again, if we assume that nothing changes, it's not an all-or-nothing situation. It would just be that, okay, they have now enough tax revenue to pay out about 75% of the benefits that they promised. So it's not an all-or-nothing. We shouldn't have that much fear. But yet, even only getting 3/4 of what you're expecting, yeah, that would be a pretty big cut. The nice thing is, and we've seen this in the past, that even with some minor changes and some minor tweaks in the way the system works, they can stretch that out even longer and maybe even ultimately fix what the situation is. And some of those possible changes they can make is they can make a slight increase in the tax rate. So the people paying Social Security could be paying a slightly higher amount, which would bring in more revenue. They could also increase the Social Security wage base, which what a lot of us don't realize is that there's actually a cap on how much income you pay Social Security on. And they've, over the last 4 or 5 years, they've been incrementally raising that so that high wage earners are actually paying more into the system than they would have been in the past. So getting that higher income, paying in a bigger piece, is one way to fix it as well. And then the other one is to, once again, raise the retirement age. So we saw that years ago, they were slowly raising it from 65 to now it's 67 as the full retirement age. As people are living longer and longer, it just makes sense to start delaying the benefits we're paying out as well. And when people originally retired, and Social Security was young, they weren't paying benefits for 20 or 30 years like they are today. So adjusting that age where you can start drawing Social Security would be one way that they could adjust it and try to make it last longer as well. So we just need to know that this is kind of a political issue as well, and people don't like to fix things before they have to because they're normally not popular fixes. So we continue to kick the can as long as we can, until eventually we get to the point where we have to make a decision. And then at that point, it's going to be unpopular to let benefits drop, but it would also be unpopular to fix it. But fixing it is probably the more popular thing at that time. So from a politician standpoint, it's probably not going to hurt your reelection as much to fix what's broken at that point as it would to let your benefits get dropped for those who are already retired. So I don't have a huge concern that they won't fix it. It's just what's it going to look like and when's it going to happen.
Well, Brad, you know, if I'm thinking about taking out my Social Security benefit early, maybe as early as possible, what are some of those pros and cons that I need to be looking out for if I want to tap into that?
Yeah, and when you draw Social Security, let me start by saying it's a very individualized decision. So don't base it off of what other people around you are doing. You need to look at your own situation and see what's in your best interest for your exact issues. And so one of the issues with drawing Social Security early, and we can do it as early as age 62, by the way. So even if your full retirement age is not until 66 and a half or 67, you can start drawing at age 62. Some of the pros of that are that maybe you need the income to survive. So you need to have some additional source of income as soon as possible. Then maybe it makes sense for you to start drawing early. or potentially you have a medical condition where you have a shorter than expected life expectancy or shorter than average life expectancy. In that case, maybe it makes sense for you to start drawing early instead of waiting later when, you know, the odds of you still being around may not be as good. The cons are that for every month that you start drawing Social Security early, they're going to reduce the amount that you receive for life. So if you start taking at age 62, that could be a reduction of by as much as 30% of the benefits that you would have received. And again, this is a lifetime decision. So starting taking it early now, while you're getting extra income now, it's going to be a lot less that you receive later on in life. So you got to know that there's that trade-off there. And another situation you got to consider is if you're still working. If you're working and earning money, you may have reduced benefits because of your wages that you're earning. And the wage base that they allow is pretty small. It's actually under $20,000 a year. So if you're making more than that, they're going to reduce the benefits you receive from Social Security by 50 cents on the dollar that you're making. So for people that are earning much money, it doesn't make sense to start taking early as long as they're earning, because you're not going to get the benefits anyway. And then the other thing to consider is that one of the biggest fears for retirees is that they're going to outlive their savings. And if you start taking early and get this reduced benefit and you end up living till your late 80s or on into your 90s, it actually increases the likelihood that you'll deplete your savings that you have, and then you're living on a reduced income stream because you started taking early. So all those things we need to be careful of.
Hey, Brad, man, I've got so many questions about Social Security because, as I've realized looking at the calendar, I'm not getting any younger either. So, but we need to take a break, and we're going to come back and pick this conversation up and ask about what about delaying Social Security benefits beyond the full retirement age. So stick with us if you've got those questions too. You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve, and we're back talking with financial planner Brad Graber, talking about Social Security this morning.
Yeah, Social Security. You know, there's an option. You can take it early, or you could delay it and go for your benefits beyond that full retirement age. Brad, what if we decide, instead of taking it earlier at the time when we can receive it, what if we delay it and take it maybe 66 or 7?
Yeah, well, 66 or 67 may be your full retirement age. You can actually delay it and get what they basically call delayed retirement credits, which means they're going to increase your benefit amount up to age 70. So for some people, they like waiting until all the way up until age 70 to start taking their Social Security. And the reason is that your Social Security benefit amount will go up by about 8% a year for every year that you're delaying it. So for some people, they're able to delay it, and they see some pros of actually waiting to take it until they're age 70. Or, I mean, you can take it at any point. Every month, it's making that adjustment. So the longer you can delay it, the bigger your benefit amount's going to be. And particularly if you're the higher wage earner in a couple, it may make sense, because one thing we may get to here in a little bit is that the bigger benefit is available to you, and then if you would predecease your spouse, they can actually elect to take your benefit because it's bigger than what they had been receiving. So that bigger benefit is available for the longer of the two lives, and it may make sense to try to grow that biggest one as large as you can, because that's the benefit you won't outlive. And delaying Social Security also will help you to hopefully not deplete your savings. So you have this bigger income stream that lasts for life that you're not going to outlive, so it may cause you to use less of your savings that you've set aside. So it may give you a little more security there. Now, the cons of waiting to take it until you're age 68, 69, or 70 is that you don't get that income in the early years. So some people don't like to wait and not start drawing out. The other risk is, and you got to weigh whether or not you consider this a risk or not, but if you pass away early, then you may have never received, or you may not receive for as long as you would have had you started taking Social Security at an earlier age. To me, I don't consider that a huge risk, because then I'm no longer here, so it's really not much of my issue anymore. What I would typically recommend people is look at your situation and how can Social Security play the most important role, and then use it wisely to try to fill that gap.
Well, what about a situation where one spouse didn't work outside the home, Brad? Is that spouse still eligible for a retirement benefit?
Yeah, in most cases they are. It's what they call a spousal benefit. And that non-working spouse, or maybe they only worked for a few years and didn't become eligible themselves, they can actually, in most cases, take up to half of the retirement benefit of the working spouse. So it's a nice way for them to still get the benefit and be able to draw Social Security even though they hadn't paid in enough to be eligible themselves. And even in cases of divorce, this can be the situation. And you get specific requirements you need to meet in order to be eligible as a divorced spouse, a non-working spouse. Some of those requirements are that you had to be married for at least 10 years, you needed to remain unmarried, and your ex-spouse had to be eligible for those benefits. So if those things are the situation, then definitely look into it because you may still be eligible on your former spouse's benefits.
So what if they pass away then?
Yeah, so that's what I was referring to earlier when we talked about the higher wage earner waiting a little bit longer. So if you're married, your spouse passes away, if their benefit was greater than yours, then in almost every situation, you're able to take the greater of the two benefits. So if your spouse's benefit was greater than yours, then you can now elect to take their benefit for the rest of your life. And that's where, in a lot of cases, it makes sense. If the higher wage earner can delay their retirement benefits, allow them to get as large as they possibly can be, then that benefit is available for not only them during their life, but also for the surviving spouse if they should outlive the person that was the higher wage earner. Mm. And you're getting the benefit of two lives worth of that income stream.
This has been good information, Brad, because when I get into the, just hearing the things in the news, it can be so confusing, and I don't speak government speak very well, so that gets confusing for me, so I appreciate you breaking this all down.
Well, I think they have a tutorial for you on the Social Security government website. Where can they go for that?
Yeah, there's a lot of good information on their site, ssa.gov. You can Google Social Security Administration, and they've got a lot of FAQs and just a lot of good information on there. And look at your own Social Security benefit statement, because that will talk about your specific situation. Just be informed. Try not to let fear drive you to making a decision that may not be in your best interest.